Let's pivot. Let's go to Biden's two press conferences. I know he had one immediately right after the Trump situation, which he was saying that he was trying to figure out what was going on. But they had a couple more. Make sure y'all hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel, and turn on your notifications. Let's get to it, y'all.
Good afternoon. Last night, I spoke with Donald Trump. I'm sincerely grateful that he's doing well and recovering. And we had a short but good conversation. Jill and I are keeping him and his family in our prayers. We also extend our deepest condolences to the family of the victim who was killed. He was a father. He was protecting his family from the bullets that were being fired. And he lost his life. God love him. We're also praying for the full...
God love him? I thought it was God bless him. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to get this guy... even when he's trying to be compassionate, to have a coherent thought.
Recovery of those who were injured. And we're grateful to the Secret Service agents and other law enforcement agencies who and individuals who risked their lives literally for our nation. As I said last night, there is no place in America for this kind of violence or any violence for that matter. An assassination attempt is contrary to everything we stand for as a nation, everything. It's not who we are as a nation. It's not America. And we cannot allow this to happen. Unity is the most elusive goal of all. But nothing is important than that right now. Unity. We'll debate and we'll disagree. That's not going to change. But we're going to not lose sight, in fact, who we are as Americans. Look, Vice President Harris and I were just briefed in the Situation Room by my Homeland Security team, including the director of the FBI, the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Homeland Security team, you mean Mayorkas?
The Attorney General, the director of the Secret Service, my Homeland Security advisor, the National Security advisor, and we're going to continue to be briefed. The FBI is leading this investigation, which is still in its early stages. We don't yet have any information about the motive of the shooter. We know who he is. I urge everyone... everyone, please, don't make assumptions about his motives or his affiliations. Let the FBI do their job and their partner.
Hey, how many people, just respectfully, because I'm going to just tell you that these branches of government, they don't have the best of reputations historically. Historically, they do not have the best reputation for presenting us, you know, with the facts. It's too many holes, it's too many things that didn't happen in the past and all of that, and I know that it's necessary, or maybe it's not, I don't know. I think that some of these things need to probably be removed and disbanded. It's too many alphabet community letters as it is, but just respectfully, how many of us are confident with these different government agencies doing their job to the best of their ability in order to provide us with all of the information that we need in order to make an informed decision? Just a question.
Partner agencies do their job. I'm instructed that this investigation be thorough and swift, and the investigators will have every resource they need to get this done. Look, as this investigation continues, here's what we're going to do. First, Mr. Trump is a former president and nominee of the Republican Party, already receives a heightened level of security.
Is that directly in contradiction of what we literally just read and what I just discussed in the previous part of this show? He has a heightened level of security now. Now he has a heightened level of security, but did he have it prior to? See, anybody can come and react to it, but have we always been preventative as far as the... man, come on, bro. Come on, man. And this is the disingenuous part. This is the part that bothers me, because it's like, I would rather you not even speak on it than to say something that you know does not align with the truth. And so they put half-truths out there and they say, man, he already got heightened level of security. Well, yeah, he already has it now that we've seen what happened in order to protect them. Who in their right mind would do something like this now? When they was allegedly requesting for additional security, they saying that he was turned down.
And I've been consistent in my direction to the Secret Service to provide him with every resource, capability, and protective measure necessary to ensure his continued safety. Second, I've directed the head of the Secret Service, to review all security measures for the Republican National Convention, which is scheduled to start tomorrow. And third, I've directed an independent review of the national security at yesterday's rally to assess exactly what happened.
Who was the independent reviewers? That's who I want to know. When a lot of these legislators say, well, listen, we've directed for an independent review of Secret Service and National Security Survivors. Independent review of the National Security Service. Who are these independent reviewers and where did they come from? Is it an outside agency? Is it a consulting agency? Who owns it? Who's a part of the lobbyist group that got the contract to be able to do it? It's not associated with the federal government. It's a form of, you know, a different branch of the federal government that operated like its own. What is it? Is it Homelander that's coming in to talk about it? Who is the individuals and the independent reviewers that does the assessment to figure out whether or not or who failing at their job and all of these different alphabet agencies that's a part of the federal government? Who? Because they just throw these terms out there like we just supposed to go with it. Listen, we're not going with nothing no more. We want to know every single detail and tell us what's happening out in these streets.
And we'll share the results of that independent review with the American people as well. And finally, I'll be speaking more about this tonight at greater length from the Oval Office. We must unite as one nation. We must unite as one nation to demonstrate who we are. And so may God bless you all and may God protect our troops. Thank you very much.
Let's go over to that press conference from the Oval Office of what he said. I actually did a review video on this, but I want to give some more context. I did a review video last night on the Anton Daniels channel, but I want to give some more context to this.
My fellow Americans, I want to speak to you tonight about the need for us to lower the temperature in our politics.
Y'all said Lori Lightfoot, as soon as she leave from Dalton and investigating Tiffany Hanger, she going to go and do an independent review. Hey, I know that Chicago and Los Angeles and Oakland, and I know that there are cities like, thank you, Jesus. Anton is finally not doing a live stream on us. And he finally not highlighting all of the violence that happened over these crazy weekends in these crazy cities. And all of the bankruptcies and the burglaries and the budget deficits and the police officers that got hurt because it's being overshadowed by what's going on with Trump and the assassination attempt. Some of y'all are waiting for something to happen to somebody else so that you can get yourself out of the spotlight. We don't know what happened in these other cities because we so consumed with what happened with President Trump. And some of y'all can't wait for somebody else to have a scandal so you can get it off your back. I know y'all happy. Brandon Johnson, like, thank you, Jesus. Tiffany Hinyard, hallelujah. Karen Bass, praise God. Huh? Eric Adams, won't he do it? Mayor Shang Tao, praise God. Get on off your feet. They are happy. Ain't never seen somebody else, been so happy to see somebody else go through something. Let's get into Biden, what he said in the Oval Office, y'all.
And to remember, while we may disagree, we are not enemies. We're neighbors, we're friends, co-workers, citizens, and most importantly, we are fellow Americans. We must stand together. Yesterday's shooting at Donald Trump's rally in Pennsylvania calls on all of us to take a step back. Take stock of where we are, how we go forward from here. Thankfully, former Trump is not seriously injured.
Thankfully, former Trump. They got to stop doing live streams. I know that they like to do what we do as content creators, but they got to stop doing live streams because they need to be able to splice this together, to edit this out. They need to get the Apple team over there. The same Apple team that shoot all of the content with Steve Jobs and they releases, or not Steve Jobs, with Tim Cook, is the same content creators that they need to go and shoot all of this content pre-recorded and then release it to the general public. Do not do no more live streams because they can't even keep this guy coherent. Honest to God. We still ain't over the fact that it just seems like he's having signs of dementia. But let's continue.
I spoke to him last night. I'm grateful. He's doing well. And Jill and I keep him and his family in our prayers. We also extend our deepest condolences to the family of the victims who was killed. Corey was a husband, a father, a volunteer firefighter, a hero, sheltering his family from those bullets. We should all hold his family and all those injured in our prayers. Earlier today, I spoke about an ongoing investigation. We do not know the motive of the shooting.
Was this recorded already? This wasn't live. And they still messed it up. They said, just let it go. Just release it. Let it fly.
Yet, we don't know his opinions or affiliations. We don't know whether he had help or support or if he communicated with anyone else. Law enforcement professionals, as I speak, are investigating those questions. Tonight, I want to speak to what we do know. A former president was shot, an American citizen killed, while simply exercising his freedom to support the candidate of his choosing. We cannot, we must not go down this road in America. We've traveled before throughout our history. Violence has never been the answer, whether it's with members of Congress of both parties being targeted and shot, or a violent mob attacking the Capitol on January 6th, or a brutal attack on the spouse of former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, or information and intimidation on election officials, or the kidnapping plot against the sitting governor, or an attempted assassination on Donald Trump. There is no place in America for this kind of violence, or for any violence ever. Period. No exceptions. We can't allow this violence to be normalized. You know, the political record in this country has gotten very heated. It's time to cool it down. We all have a responsibility to do that. Yes, we have deeply felt strong disagreements. The stakes in this election are enormously high. I've said it many times that the choice in the select we make in this election is going to shape the future of America and the world for decades to come. I believe that with all my soul. I know that millions of my fellow Americans believe it as well.
I will give them that. That is true. The stakes in this election are incredibly high. Your future depends on it. The future of your children depend on it. Where we allocating our resources depend on it. What wars that we fund next depend on it. Whether or not you're going to pay more in taxes depend on it. What's going to happen in your cities, and is California going to eventually file for bankruptcy just like Oakland will, depend on it. Whether or not we're going to continue to leave our borders open for migrants to come into this country depends on it. Everything depends on it. Every election. It's very, very important, and the stakes are high for every single election. He is absolutely 100% correct on that.
And some have a different view as to the direction our country should take. Disagreement is inevitable in American democracy. It's part of human nature. But politics must never be a literal battlefield, and God forbid, a killing field. I believe politics ought to be an arena for peaceful debate, to pursue justice, to make decisions guided by the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. We stand for an America, not of extremism and fury, but of decency and grace. All of us now face the time of testing as the election approaches. And the higher the stakes, the more fervent the passions become. This places an added burden on each of us to ensure that no matter how strong our convictions, we must never descend into violence. The Republican convention will start tomorrow. I have no doubt they'll criticize my record and offer their own vision for this country. I'll be traveling this week making the case for our record and the vision, my vision of the country, our vision. I'll continue to speak out strongly for our democracy, stand up for our Constitution and the rule of law, to call for action at the ballot box, no violence on our streets. That's how democracy should work. We debate and disagree. We compare and contrast the character of the candidates, the records, the issues, the agenda, the vision for America. But in America, we resolve our differences at the battle box. You know, that's how we do it, at the battle box, not with bullets. The power to change America should always rest in the hands of the people, not in the hands of a would-be assassin. You know, the path forward through a competing visions of the campaign should always be resolved peacefully. Not through acts of violence. You know, we're blessed to live in the greatest country on earth, and I believe that with every soul, every power of my being. So tonight, I'm asking every American to recommit, to make America so, make America, what to think about.
And this is the problem of what happens when you go live. Because I don't believe it was live. Y'all not going to convince me that this was live. I'm not going for it. No way, no how. Or y'all not going to convince me that this wasn't live, that this was pre-recorded. You're not going to convince me of that because he almost just said, make America great again. He literally believes in his opponent. He almost said, make America great again. Did you hear it? Let's go through it again.
Every power of my being. So tonight, I'm asking every American to recommit to make America so make America what it is.
That's correct. He just said it. He might as well just go ahead and endorse it. It will be the first time in history, the first time in history that a person that is on the ballot box to eventually try to compete against Donald Trump or to compete against their opponent in the convention. You know, they about to have the Democratic National Convention over in Chicago. They got the one going over in Milwaukee right now. It'll be the first time in history, a historic moment, that he just went ahead 4 months before the president of the United States of America is set to be elected, for you guys to vote, for him to just say, make America great again. Go ahead, give yourself a round of applause. Just say it, make America great again. Look at him, he's so disgusted at the fact that he was about to say it.
Every American to recommit, to make America so, make America, think about it. What's made America so special? Here in America, everyone must be treated with dignity and respect. And hate must have no safe harbor. Here in America, we need to get out of our silos where we only listen to those with whom we agree, where misinformation is rampant, where foreign actors fan the flames of our division to shape the outcomes consistent with their interests, not ours. Let's remember, here in America, while unity is the most elusive of all goals right now, nothing is more important for us now than standing together. We can do this. You know, from the beginning, our founders understood the power of passion. So they created a democracy that gave reason and balance a chance to prevail over brute force. That's the American we must be. An American democracy where arguments are made in good faith. An American democracy where the rule of law is respected. American democracy where decency, dignity, fair play aren't just quaint notions, but living, breathing realities. Mm. We owe that to those who come before us, to those who gave their lives for this country. We owe that to ourselves. We owe it to our children and our grandchildren. Look, let's never lose sight of who we are. Let's remember we are the United States of America. There is nothing, nothing, nothing beyond our capacity when we do it together. God bless you all. May God protect our troops.
How many people are feeling inspired by that speech? Just a show of hands. Can we get a show of hands in the chat of how many people was feeling inspired by that speech for us to put together a coalition of people that ultimately are going to speak to our best interests and put aside our differences and make sure that we make America great again and we no longer should be going at each other's necks. Forget the gender war. Forget the race war. Forget the class war. Forget the political agendas. Forget the fact that we just literally tried to trump up charges on this guy and get him removed off of the ballot boxes in certain states. Forget all of that. No, listen, not a big deal. Listen, we have always had differences, but we need to set aside the stakes in this thing. And that only one side is supposed to be the side that can get it off. Look, in my opinion, what we've experienced over these last several years leading up to this election is election interference, but not from the conservative side, from the Democratic side, from the liberal side. I mean, I am never going to forget, and maybe it's to my own demise, because I know that I'm not supposed to continue to trump this. I'm not supposed to continue to have this conversation, that... Let me see if I can pull it up. Because a lot of y'all not going to believe it. Bonnie Willis, Atlanta. mayor, meet with vice president. It's hard for me to forget this. How can I? How can I just act like it didn't happen? Huh? Why is it that I'm supposed to forget this? Even though it's clear and nobody wants to report on it, but I got to be the bad guy and I got to have this conversation. Am I supposed to forget that Fannie Willis met with Kamala Harris before indicting Trump? Because to me, personally, that sounds like election interference. How can you not expect for people to fight for their rights, or at the very least, fight for the right to be able to pick who they want to choose to be their president of the United States of America? How can we forget about that and act like it didn't happen? Huh? Literally, this woman discovered that they met, and she had a whole live stream and started breaking it down. The claim has been vehemently denied by the White House officials who say that Willis was attending an event for Black History Month. But it just so happens to come at a time right before they decided that they wanted to file Trump up all of these charges. And it's a reason, in my opinion, why she continues to stay in office. Fannie Willis had a White House meeting with Vice President Kamala Harris, according to Newsweek, before indicting Donald Trump, a lawyer has claimed during a Georgia State hearing. That was this woman, the same woman that blew the top off of the fact that Fannie Willis is lying about the fact that she was in a whole relationship with a guy that she wasn't supposed to be in a relationship with, while also prosecuting people that they wasn't supposed to be prosecuting. Attorney Ashley Martin showed a committee the White House records detailing, White House records, this is not a secret, it's all public information, detailing that Willis, the district attorney for the Fulton County, Georgia, in the White House on February 28, 2023, before indicting Donald Trump and 18 others in August for allegedly interfering with the 2020 presidential election result in Georgia. Right? Merchant said the White House records she obtained showed that Willis had the meeting with Harris and the company of Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens, a Democrat. So am I supposed to just act like this is not a thing? Because this is not fake news. This is not something that we making up on the fly. This is not something that we trying to figure out. This is something that y'all don't sit and do y'all research, and you not tuned into the Millionaire Morning Show on a regular basis. So how would you be able to come to this conclusion if you don't even have all of the information? Oh, Anton, that's fake news. What's fake news? It's on the White House ledger. It's there. You can go and look it up if you do enough deep dive. You can look it up the same way that she looked it up. It's public information. What did they mean about it? Because what they then said, and they came back and said after this, is they said, well, technically, they didn't even meet with Kamala Harris. They met with some representatives. See, I don't forget, because I do this and I'm immersed in it, and it's just become my life, right? Because this, I take it serious what I do and what I present. So if it says they met with the vice president or they were scheduled to meet with the vice president, what am I supposed to believe? Because it's a part of the security measure to even get inside of the White House in the first place. Don't worry about it. I guess I'm making that up too. I guess that's just a thing that we trying to figure out because we don't really know. And we don't want to classify that as election interference though. That doesn't influence you to do the thing that you're going to do, because the only thing you want to say is, well, no, listen, he's being indicted off of 91 different charges. So this don't count? This don't matter? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We gonna get there.